Blog Talk Radio.
For the airways to be clear, pray for Montel
for Reaching Out Radio. And we pray against any technical difficulties, against any demonic powers of the air. Lord, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, greetings from the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Good evening, y'all.
And before we get started, Lee and I just want to share with you an important reminder with regards to our topic and our discussion this evening.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listener, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances.
You are so funny. Brian was batting his eyelashes at me while he was singing. Where in the world did you decide to get that song?
Well, it's right here on planet Earth, my dear. It would be on this date, 1966, that old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, would record that now famous song, Strangers in the Night.
And for you quartet singers out there, in 1936, the Speb and Scassa.
The who? What's a Speb and Scassa?
Well, actually, their name is the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America. Long name. And on this day, they were founded in the U.S. of A.
No doubt. So who knew? I think I like that first name you gave him, the Speb Scassa.
Okay. So what do you have for us in Jewish history today, Brian?
Well, it will be on April the 11th in 1899 that the very first Jewish congregation was formed in Caracas, Venezuela. And in 1905, Albert Einstein reveals his theory of relativity.
What's that? All that theory is relative?
Well, sort of, but here's what it really means. It says that Albert Einstein determined that the laws of physics are the same for all non-accelerating observers. That's a mouthful. And that the speed of light in a vacuum was independent of the motion of all observers. So this was the theory of special relativity. It introduced a new framework for all physics and proposed new concepts of space and time. Final frontier.
Who knew? And here's something that I found on Anne Frank again this week. In 1949, she wrote this little insert in her diary. Who has made us Jews different from all other people? Who has allowed us to suffer so terribly up till now? It is God that has made us as we are, but it will be God, too, who will raise us up again.
Wow, that was a very powerful statement, and what a great promise. Now, turning back to our world history segment, it would be in 1471, during the Wars of the Roses, was at its highest point. And today in history, King Edward IV of England would conquer London from Henry VI.
And speaking of jolly old England, it would be April 11th in 1689 that William III and Mary II would be crowned as joint rulers of Britain.
Ah, and there's this. In their honor later, a college would be named after them, better known as William and Mary.
That's true. Well, here's some history about that college. This is actually from their website. William and Mary is the second oldest college in America. The original plans for William and Mary dates back to 1618, decades before Harvard. But the plans were derailed by an Indian uprising.
An Indian uprising.
Hey, man, we couldn't make this stuff up. On February 8th, 1693, King William III and Queen Mary II of England signed the charter for a perpetual college of divinity, philosophy, languages, and other good arts and sciences to be founded in the Virginia colony. And thus, William and Mary was born.
How about that? Mary, did you know? Well, listen, how about that, folks? Well, now we go across the channel to France. Today in 1814, Napoleon Bonaparte would abdicate his throne unconditionally. And as a result, he was then exiled to the island of Elba.
Speaking of an island, moving back across the channel and the pond, back here in the USA, immigration begins to take shape. On this date in 1890, Ellis Island would be designated as an immigration station.
Wow, really?
That's right. With this action, Ellis Island would be the first stop for millions of European Jews coming to America.
How about that? My ancestors came from Germany through there. So, well, listen, and here's some exciting history. On April the 11th in 1970, the Apollo 13, that was a U.S. manned space expedition, was launched from Cape Kennedy at 2:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I remember that.
I figured you would. And with 56 hours into the flight, something happened.
What happened?
Well, an oxygen tank exploded right there in the service module.
Oh, my.
And astronaut John L. Swigert saw a warning light that came on that was accompanied with a big bang. And then he said these now famous words over the air, "Houston, we've had a problem."
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I remember that incident.
And as a result of this, John Swigert, James Lovell, and Fred Hayes then transferred into the lunar module, and using it as a lifeboat, they began a perilous return trip to Earth, splashing down to safety on April the 17th.
I also remember how happy everyone was that they returned safely.
Well, and here's something very special. It was on this date in April the 11th, 1983, that Harold Washington would become the very first African-American mayor of Chicago.
Hmm.
And after receiving 50% of the votes.
51%, if I recall.
That's right. And he was then reelected in 1987, but sadly, he suffered a fatal heart attack at his office 7 months later.
Hmm.
So, Leah, what do you have for us in women's history today?
This was pretty cool. In 1881, the very first female seminary is started.
A female seminary?
That's right, as opposed to the only males were the only ones that went to cemetery before then, pretty much.
You mean seminary, not cemeteries.
Seminary, I meant. Okay, let me put my teeth back in and get it going. It was called Spelman College and was founded by the Atlanta Baptist Female Seminary there in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, now that was pretty neat.
Yes, it was. Because the Institute was founded as a higher education for African-American women, and it received its college charter in 1924. Okay, you're grinning over there. You must have something really weird for our weird history moment.
Well, you know, it's really kind of interesting. When I'm not looking for something, I find something.
Of course.
And this was really interesting. On one of the websites that I went to, it shared this. It said that April the 11th, of that year, it was identified by experts as the most boring day of the 20th century, a day when nothing of note happened.
You're kidding. Nothing?
Well, that's what it said. And then I went on to read further, and it said, after feeding 300 million facts into the new computer,
wow,
and went through the search engine, they announced that there were no key events or births or deaths of famous people that took place on that day.
That's it? Nothing more?
Well, the article did say that the best that the machine could muster for the day was the fact that Belgium had its fourth post-war general election and that a Turkish academic who taught electronics was born.
That was funny. And with that, now it's time for our sports history update.
Sports history update, eh? Well, what do we got going here? I know. Things move on me while I'm over here. I'm old. And the announcer came on the air and he said, he's jumping back and forth. He's swinging his arms and jabbing back and forth. The two men are really going after one another. And with that, in 1921, the very first live sports event on radio would take place on this day on KDKA Radio. The event was a boxing match between Johnny Ray and Johnny Dundee.
Really? The first live boxing match on radio? Hmm.
Yep. And in 1966, Emmett Ashford would become the very first African-American to be named as a major league umpire.
Huh.
You're out of here. And to finish out our sports update, It would be today in 1970 that the San Francisco Giants would beat the Cincinnati Reds 2-1.
What? So this was news?
Well, yeah, it wasn't so much about the games, but it was news because this was the only day in 1970 that the Reds were not in first place all year long.
Interesting. So, Brian, what's on our program for today?
Well, this evening we're going to be continuing with part two of our study series, The Veil and the Coverings.
Okay. We had fun sharing about the word veil last week, how it's spelled different, and the different types of veils.
And this evening we're going to be sharing some more about the different types of veils and the coverings and how they were used.
And where they were used, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament.
And the good, the bad, and the ugly part of the veils, and veils that have been used for prophecy and for other interesting things throughout the Bible.
This is going to be fun, y'all. So grab your coffee or tea, grab a pen or pencil and paper.
Or grab your computer. Feel the power of God in the back of it. But anyway, and grab your iPhone or your iPad, and while you're at taking notes, remember to write down any thoughts or comments and or questions that you might have during our study time here.
Because
why?
When we get to the end of the study this evening, you'll be able to call in with your questions or comments.
Now, that's my favorite part of the program.
You are so funny. Anyway, Montel will be here waiting for your calls. She will take your questions and comments, and we want to take as much time with you as we can. So, Brian, let's get going.
You bet. So, Leah, why don't we share with our listeners what that word veil means, and then we can review a couple of the things that we learned from last week's program in case somebody tuned in late.
Love to. Well, this was pretty interesting. Last week I shared that Webster's Dictionary defines this word as a piece of cloth or net worn usually by women over the head and shoulders and sometimes over the face.
That would make sense.
It is also something that covers or hides something else.
Ah, and last week we shared, or at least I did, I thought it was like kind of putting a long sleeve shirt on over a T-shirt and then putting a jacket over the shirt and zipping it up.
Yeah, or something just like that. It's also a length of cloth worn by women as a covering for the head and shoulders. And often, especially in Eastern countries, it can also be something used to cover the face because they didn't like to show their faces. Only the eyes were visible. And it can be the outer covering of a nun's headdress.
I only have eyes for you. Oh, anyway, that was really interesting.
But there's still more to the veil.
There's more?
Yes.
More veil.
Yes, more. It can be a length of veiling or netting worn over the head or face or attached for protection or ornament to a hat or headdress.
Like a Christmas tree ornament.
No.
All right, so could it be like a bridal veil maybe?
Exactly. And it can be used as various liturgical cloths, especially a cloth used to cover the chalice.
Now, a chalice, that would be like a cup or a goblet that was used for drinking wine. And the cup that is used for the Christian Eucharist, or better commonly known as the communion of the Last Supper.
It sometimes is used as a term to describe the life of a nun, often used with the phrase to take the veil, or used to be a concealing curtain or cover of cloth. And lastly, it can be something that resembles a veil, like a veil of stars, and anything else that hides or obscures, like a veil.
Now, that was really interesting. And while we're on the subject, one of the things that we brought up last week was, so what does it mean when you hear that someone used the phrase to raise the veil?
Well, that's a great question, Brian. And we will see more of this during our study series. Basically, when you lift the veil from something or someone, you reveal what is behind it.
There you go. So it means to uncover some private thing or some secret thing.
Yes, it does. So to review, a veil can be a concealing item of clothing, like a bridal veil, or a concealing curtain. And this has come to mean something that hides or obscures, like a veil.
Now, that word veil occurs 38 times in the Bible. 35 times it occurs just in the King James Version alone. And as we talked about last week, that there were two different spellings of veil. There was a veil, V-E-I-L, and there was a veil, V-A-I-L, which is kind of interesting because that's the way it is in the old King James Version. So we shared that that word veil first appeared right around in Genesis chapter 24, verse 65. And this is the time when Rebekah met Isaac for the very first time.
I want to read this one. So, folks, turn to Genesis 24, 65. This is from the Amplified Version. She said to the servant, "Who is that man walking across the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master, Isaac." So she took a veil and covered herself, as was customary.
I'm sure she had that southern accent. And I'm sure he said, "And I must meet this woman." Well, listen, speaking of veils, we had some of our listeners had asked us if we were going to talk some more about the veil in the temple.
That's right, and we will be. But we will share the temple veil in our last part, which is part four.
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch to that, and we thought we'd want to devote a little extra time for that. So far we've learned that the veil can be a covering for something or something to conceal. Now, let's take a little closer look at Isaiah and see how this veil or covering was used.
I'm going to read from Isaiah 25, verse 7, from the Amplified Bible. "And on this mountain he will destroy the covering that is cast over all peoples, and the veil of death that is woven and spread over all the nations."
Now, this was a really interesting passage.
So what'd you find out about it?
Well, this was pretty cool. I was looking at one of our commentaries, and this is from the Ellicott's Commentary for English Readers. I don't know if they have one for Spanish readers and French readers, but anyway, this said the Ellicott's Commentary for English Readers. And this is how the verse reads. It says, "The face of the covering cast over all people." Now, to cover the face in the east, it was a sign of mourning for the dead. And we see this when David found out about his son's death.
This is from 2 Samuel 19, verse 4. I'm reading this from the King James Version. "But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, 'Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'"
Wow. Well, thanks, Leah. So this was a sign, as you will, mourning for the dead, and it was to destroy the covering that is to overcome death, of which it is thus the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this, there probably was mingled another thought, though kindred. It was that the man whose face is thus covered cannot see the light, and the covering represents the veil.
Also, this covering can be a veil of blindness, which lies over our hearts, which hinders men from knowing God. The final victory of God includes a triumph over ignorance and sorrow, as well as over sin and death.
Now, that was pretty cool. Now, I was still doing some more digging this last week, and I found this really great commentary. It was in the McLaren's commentary. McLaren's. And it talked about the veil over the nations. It said that the veil in this verse is probably a similar allusion to that which covered Moses' face. It will then be an emblem of that which obscures for all nations the face of God. And what is that but sin?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You know, that is really very interesting, that the veil was much more than just a veil or a covering.
You're right. You are so right. And Lee and I we wanted to dig into this a little deeper this week. So, as we mentioned earlier, if you haven't already, get out your pens and pencils and paper, or get your iPhone or your iPad or your computer, because we've got more on this. And with that, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus. That's where they kind of left the stage. So look in Exodus, and we're going to be reading in chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. So, my bride, why don't you read this one with me? We'll kind of go back and forth to kind of save our voices as we go.
Okay. We're reading Exodus chapter 34, starting with verse 29, and we're going to read from the Amplified Version. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face was shining with a unique radiance because he had been speaking with God.
That's right. And now when Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to approach him. They were afraid. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all of the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and he then spoke to them.
Afterward, all the Israelites approached him, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had said to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face.
But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out and he told the Israelites what had been commanded by God.
And in verse 35, it finishes like this. The Israelites would see the face of Moses, how his skin shone with a unique radiance. So Moses put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God.
Thank you, Leah. Now, this is the part of the study that we're going to discover some really neat, neat things. One of the groups that I use is called Dr. Constable's Notes, and he's got a really great website on the Internet, and it's really, really good. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of his commentaries that he had.
If you'd like to learn more from Dr. Constable, You can go directly to his website, www.soniclight.com. That website address again is www.soniclight.com. I have really been impressed with all the information available there. There's a scripture passage, history, and a host of different commentaries.
Yeah, and it really rocks, too.
Yes, it does. Brian, why don't we share some of Dr. Constable's notes on these passages?
Well, it's a great idea, my bride. So, with regards to Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35, this is how Dr. Constable starts his commentary notes off. He says that the transformation that Moses experienced as a result of his close fellowship with God showed in his physical appearance, particularly in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got time later, you might want to go back and you might want to write this down, Matthew 17:1-3. So when you get a chance later, go back and compare that to this particular verse in Exodus. Now, this change made the other Israelites really uncomfortable around him.
Oh my, they didn't like to play with him. Sounds like little children on the playground.
Yeah, you bet. That's right. Look, what's the matter with this boy? He's glowing like a glowworm, man. So now the evidence of his close relationship with God convicted them. Evidently, Moses' shining face was evidence to the Israelites that he had been in the Lord's presence and that what he had told them was an oracle from God.
And that means it was a prophetic word directly from God.
That's right. And remember, sometimes if you feel like you walk into a room and people seem to either walk away from you or they seem intimidated by you, it's not so much about how tall or how big that you are or if you're weird looking. Sometimes it's just the fact that the glory of God is all over your face and they don't know how to handle that. They just don't know what to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really liked what you said because that oracle from God really was a prophetic word which was given directly by God. Now, Dr. Constable then finished with this. He said that the purpose of the veil that Moses wore over his face while speaking with the Israelites at other times, it was there to hide the fact that the glory was fading.
Well, that's interesting. Well, we wanted to share with you folks how in the New Testament this message was spoken to the Jews and Gentiles. We will be reading from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 11. And again, we're using the Amplified Bible for the translation.
Now, it reads like this. Now, if the ministry of death engraved in letters on stones, the covenant of the law which led to death because of sin, came with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, a brilliance that was fading. How will the ministry of the Spirit, or the new covenant, which allows us to be Spirit-filled, fail to be even more glorious and splendid?
Well, verse 9 then says, "For if the ministry that brings condemnation, the old covenant, the law, has glory, how much more does glory overflow in the ministry that brings righteousness, the new covenant, which declares believers free of guilt and sets them apart for God's special purpose?"
And then in verse 10 it reads, it says, "Indeed, what had glory? The law, in this case, no longer has glory because of the glory that surpasses it, the gospel."
And it finishes in verse 11 with this, "For if that law which fades away came with glory, how much more must that gospel, which remains and is permanent, abide in glory and splendor?"
Now, again, Dr. Constable gives us a really great insight on these particular verses, so much that he shared the following. He said that Moses' veil further illustrated the mental barrier of preventing Israel from recognizing Christ in the Old Testament.
Wow.
Through faith in Christ, the veil is removed, and believers enjoy the free access to God who transforms life.
You know, this was really powerful, and learning more about the veil really helps to understand our walk and our journey with the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Ah, yes. But last, there's more.
There's more? Really?
Yes. Dr. Constable went on to share this really interesting commentary with regards to the veil and the glory of God in the face of Moses. He said, "The physical nature of this phenomenon must remain a mystery, but its theological meaning is crystal clear. Moses, as a covenant mediator, was authenticated as such by his resemblance to the God of glory, whom he represented. It is precisely for this reason that Moses and Elijah shared the radiance of the transformed Jesus."
Wow.
Now, let's take a closer look at this, and we're going to go jump up into the New Testament. We're going to take a look at Luke. Use the force, Luke. And we're going to look at Luke 9. Verses 31 and 32.
Those verses again are Luke 9, 31 and 32. "Who appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure from earthly life, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem."
And then in verse 32 it reads, "Now Peter and those who were with him had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and splendor and majesty, and the two men who were standing with him."
Hey, Brian, do we have time to share some of that commentary from Dr. Constable on these verses?
Oh, sure. We can make some time for it. Now, here it says that Luke described Moses and Elijah as appearing, quote unquote, in glory. Now, that's how it reads in the New American Standard Bible. Now, in the New International Version, it reads glorious splendor. Now, they evidently basked in the reflected glory of Jesus.
Wow, I'd like a little basking in Jesus' glory, too. And then he shared this. "The disciples observed them speaking with Jesus about his upcoming departure."
Now, that word departure in Greek is the word exodos, like exit, stage left, as the old cartoon went. But it's exodos.
Dr. Constable then shared, "Luke alone mentioned the subject of their conversation. The use of Exodus points to a larger significance of Jesus' death."
And also, it was more than just his departure from earth.
Right.
It would involve a journey through rejection and death to exaltation. It would be unusual as Moses and Elijah's departures had been, because remember, Elijah went up into the clouds in a chariot of fire, and Moses was left behind, and that's all that we know.
Yeah.
And it would be the fact that it would accomplish the redemption as the Exodus from Egypt had done, but this was more on a cosmic scale.
Wow. And I like this next part. Jesus' exodus would open up a whole new wilderness experience for the church to trek across, as Moses' exodus did for the Israelites.
Wow. Now, here's something else that's really cool. In his commentary, we're still talking about Dr. Gospel here, he said that Luke also recorded that this exodus would happen in Jerusalem.
Wow, Jerusalem?
Yes, and this is the first of his several references to that city. It was the place to which Jesus now began to look at as his city of destiny.
Neat.
And in the New American Standard Bible, it uses the word accomplish.
To accomplish. I like that one.
Well, and I thought that you would. And in the New International Version, or the NIV, that word, instead of accomplish, they use the word fulfillment.
Oh, I like that too.
Now, the Greek, and the Greek word for this is pleroo, suggesting the fulfillment of Jesus' destiny is used as the suffering servant that Scripture had predicted.
Hmm.
Now, much of Luke's gospel from here through chapter 19 then concerns the preparation of the disciples for ministry in light of his departure, that is, Jesus' departure.
So some people might be interested to know what the purpose was of the transfiguration.
Well, that's a great question, Leah. Now, the purpose of the transfiguration was to strengthen the heart of Jesus as he was praying long about his approaching death, and to give these chosen three disciples a glimpse of his glory for that hour of darkness that was coming. And no one on earth understood the heart of Jesus, and so Moses and Elijah came. The poor disciples, poor disciples, they just utterly failed to grasp the significance of it all.
Wow. All I can say is wow. And to finish, this information is also unique to the third gospel. That means it's nowhere else. Evidently, the three disciples, overcome with sleep, and had either been sleeping or had almost fallen asleep while Jesus was praying.
Boy, that's pretty bad. Kind of like coming back. You had one job to do. You fell asleep.
That's right.
You were supposed to be staying up and praying. So, thus they were not spiritually ready for what they experienced.
That's right.
If Jesus found it necessary to pray, then they should have followed his example. Their improper response comes out in the very next verse. They apparently did not understand the significance of the discussion about Jesus' exodus. And the vision before them, however, awakened them fully.
So you could say that the veil over their eyes kept them from seeing the glory of Jesus and what was next in store for their future journey.
That's right. And that was an awesome comment, Leah. And we've got more things to share with you.
Well, that's right. We do. But, folks, you're going to have to tune in next Monday at 6 p.m. Central for part three of our series, The Veil and the Covering.
We hope that you've enjoyed this study for tonight. And as we mentioned at the very beginning of the program, if you've got a question or comment that you'd like to share, either for Evangelist Montel, for Leah, or me, moi, please feel free to call us. You can call us by dialing up 347-308-8837. That phone number again is 347-308-8837. And I think Montel will tell you that if you just hit one, do a pound one, that'll connect you directly to the program. But I'm sure she'll come in behind me and give you the exact orders. And this would be a great time to call us with your questions or comments. And Leah and I really look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Brian. And now back to you, Montel.
Well, thanks, y'all.
You're welcome.
Hey, you're getting that down pretty good, y'all.
I've been actually corresponding. God is so good, he just keeps bringing new people abroad. And I actually been talking to a pastor on Facebook during the show, and they've been trying to tune in to listen tonight, and he was sharing with me that he is going to be inviting others, and he is actually, I do believe, out of Africa.
Oh,
so
hey.
God keeps taking and opening more and more doors. So I would like to play Brian give people an opportunity. Get your dialing fingers ready. I know I have listeners that are listening through the live link. And in case the ones from Africa are trying to connect, I would love to play your song, Brian South Praise. Give people a chance to call in. Give you a moment to rest your voice. And then I know, too, Evangelist Edward Eberle, my host on Tuesday nights, he does God's Word in Action, has been listening to the show, so maybe he might call in because he has a lot of great insight on the Word of God, and I love how he brings things forth. So remember, call 347-308-8837, press number 1, and we can open your mic, and you can share your comments or any questions you had about the program, or maybe you need prayer. We're going to do that right after this song. I love this song. Brian is an amazing a songwriter and plays the keyboard beautifully. But they are just a man and woman, both of many talents. They're authors. They have amazing ministries. As you can see, they're all natural on the radio. So I just thank God for what he's doing. Y'all's amazing. And here is Brian's song, South Praise. And right after that, please call in again, 347-308-8837, and press the 1, and that will let us know that you have a comment or prayer request.
Sounds good.
you want to clapping and stomping your feet and praising the Lord? Hallelujah. I like that one, Brian.
Well, thanks.
I would say I taught him everything he knows, but I didn't.
Yeah, she was yelling, more cowbell, more cowbell.
That's funny.
Right.
I have been corresponding back and forth with the pastor. He's actually from Tanzania, Africa, and they are going to start faithful listeners. And he wanted to call in tonight, actually, to the phone-in part of the show. But right now, with where he is all the way in Africa, he has to get time on his phone. So I've given him the number, and I'm corresponding back and forth through Messenger. So, but thank you, and praise be to God that we have pastors now from Tanzania, Africa, joining Reaching Out Radio. God is good.
All right. Praise God. That's great.
And we also have a new
Pastor,
host that's
thank you
joining.
For, and Pastor, if you can hear us, thank you for tuning in and listening. We hope that we look forward to hearing from you. Hope that you'll connect with us by email sometime. You can either connect with me through LinkedIn or through our website at hazakministries.com. That's H-A-Z-A-K ministries.com. And if you want to email me there, you can just email to brian@hazakministries.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Brian, B-R-I-A-N. Just remember, don't give it backwards and put brain. So.
That's funny, Brian.
No danger of that, Brian.
And if anyone out there is listening and does have comments or you want to share anything, remember, just dial the 347. Oh, hold on one moment. We do have someone on the line. Give me just one moment, and I'll get the mic open here, and I was trying to correspond to through Messenger, and I do believe this is our dear brother in Christ, Evangelist Edward Everly.
Yes,
good evening, dear brother. God bless you.
Hey,
God
great to hear
you.
From you.
Howdy.
Good evening. Yes, yeah, great to hear from you all there. Good evening, Brian. Good evening, Leah. And good evening, Evangelist Montel. I wanted to tell you I enjoyed the message very much. It was very educational and very much of a blessing. It was well put and very easy to listen to. My wife and I were saying it. We were just discussing it just a minute ago, but I wanted to call in and tell you that, and it was just such a blessing to us. And, you know, it's so important today that we teach on Jewish teachings because, you know, they're applied today very much so as we interweave the New and the Old Testament, how it confirms itself and bears a lot of witness to what we know in the New Testament. So I just wanted to call in and just say how much I appreciate your ministry there.
Well, thank you. We try to, we don't want to get too deep, and at the same time, we don't want to get too long. It's kind of like it's evolving, and we've really found that if we can spend a little bit of time on things that happen in history, that makes it fun for people to call in and listen to. And then when we do our teaching, we don't want to try to do a full hour of teaching. It's kind of like a professor once told me. He said you have to kind of remember that people's attention will go just about as far as their backside will take the seat. So
that's true. That's a lot of truth to that, believe me. But that was just the right timing and everything. And, you know, it's very interesting
thank you so
also.
Much.
Because
we have a friend of ours out here that goes to a little Baptist church that we've been visiting. And she actually used to work for a Jewish organization out of San Antonio. And it was really kind of interesting. She said, when they came out with a radio program called The Jewish Hour, she said, they said it was The Jewish Hour, but it was only 15 minutes long.
Man.
Well, that maybe intrigued them all the more because when they saw it was that short and everything was easy to listen to, you know, and during that time you had all that information given, so you did give them the information they needed to hear in a 50-minute jam-packed service, right? Because if you can get all your information.
There you go. So we understand you're going to be on tomorrow night, so what's your teaching on? What are you teaching tomorrow night?
Yeah. Well, it's actually a Jewish thing. It really kind of goes along with what you're saying. It's not about the veil, but it's the seven times that Jesus shed his blood and how it's applied back in the Old Testament to the New Testament and as many things that Jesus did back in the Old Testament, as we spoke of him, that happened in the New Testament that coincide. And I have several things I have bringing out in that, but it's a Jewish teaching right there, because many times people think that Jesus just shed his blood once, which it was the most important thing, but synonymously, it teaches that back in the Old Testament, and it confirms what he did and how it happened in the New Testament, various things. So it's interesting. I know as I prepared the message, I've taught on it a number of times, ministered on it, but Lord showed me some other things about it, which was very interesting. So amen. I listened to that, and I thought, well, praise God. We're flowing together in this thing right here, getting the word out.
Well, it is. That's really good. I'm always amazed when the Lord gives me something to start teaching on, and it's like Leah will tell you, it's like I'll look at this and I'll say, well, man, I don't think I got enough for four studies, and then I get in there and I got one, and I'm about one to one and a half, and I'm thinking, gosh, what am I going to find something else? And then the Lord will, he'll direct something to me during the week, and I'll get in there and I'll go, gosh, this is really great, this is really great, and we'll get in there, and suddenly the next thing you know, he gives you something else, and you find yourself having to pare back because now you get too much.
You do.
That's, you know, and that's really great. Last summer we had a really good, great opportunity in one of our studies. We actually had found, while we were talking about releasing the Spirit in your life, we actually found a really great book by Johnny Enlow, talking about the seven mountain prophecies, and that was just amazing. It's just kind of like you got to be careful because you don't want to teach somebody else's stuff. But it was really powerful to be able to pull things in, and some of my close friends that are far, far more intricate in Bible knowledge than I am even came to me and said, "Man, where did you find that? That was powerful." And I just said, well, you know, when you ask the Lord to help you, just be ready, because he'll suddenly give you a download and you will be amazed at what
you find. Right. That's true. Many times you'll speak things and you will catch yourself as you speak, preach, or teach. Things that come out of your mouth sometimes you never said before, which are prophetically from the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's bringing up these truths, because knowledge will increase, not just secular knowledge, but knowledge of God's Word, because revelations are coming forth. People are learning quicker. They're learning much faster. That what took us maybe 5 years to learn, they learn in 5 months. And it's just so instantaneously, relationships are made overnight, suddenly they're happening. Everything is at a very, very quick timing, and it's in a way that we know it's of God, because he really sanctions it. So we're not, it's not something we have to always take our time with to say, well, I'm going to think about this, I'm going to pray about this, even though we do. But it's happening so quickly now. He's bringing it to us, confirming it, and then we're going on with it. We're taking the ball on, you know, and that's what's really good. And I'll tell you, Brian, the thing about this Jewish teaching and into one man is the teaching of the day, because, you know, we know, in fact, most ministers in the United States are all over. They're basically teachers of the Western culture here, Western culture, but then there's the Jewish Jesus. And the Jewish Jesus has far more teaching, even from the times that we're talking, I'm not going to go into teaching here, but even the 30, 60, 100 fold is a teaching to it. And the windows of heaven being open in a way it's mistaught, and so many things today that are not being taught because of being a Western Jesus. But if we go by what God's Word says, we're right on mark for what he wants us to do, you know. So that's very interesting, because we can be a blessing in helping the Jewish people, and they can teach us also, so we're learning together as we put ourselves together into one complete man.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it's exciting. In fact, next week we're going to be we're saving the temple veil primarily for the last segment, but next week we're going to be talking about some of the other types of veils, the covering, and it's going to be really, it's going to be a really great teaching, because we actually found a sermon from a guy that wrote something back in 1844, and I think I stumbled across it by accident, and I just, as I started reading his sermon, I was kind of like, I said, oh my gosh, this was like made for the radio program, so so we're going to be really excited. So now does your bride do any part of the program with you?
She will be, as we go on right here, she will take part because she's always worked with me in the services and everything that we minister, and she will be coming on eventually here with me where it'll be both. I call them a better half. She's a better half. You're getting a lesser half when you get me on there, then she gets a better half when she comes on. One thing I wanted to mention about your service tonight, you know, something that's very interesting is about the veil, you know, and Moses, you know, you would have thought the glory was shining so much off of him that veil would have been on to protect the people because it was all that glory. But it was when you said it was to show, in other words, they didn't want them to see the glory diminishing. And that was
something
I would have never thought of. That's the first time I've ever heard it. That was a very interesting point right there because I've never heard that before. And that it usually would have been taught, and I've believed it the opposite way, to be honest with you, for all these years, that most people have. But I thought that was very interesting.
He'd come out and have that veil off, and they would see that he had been to see God, and they saw that glory.
Yes.
And then when he disappeared, he put that veil away so that they wouldn't see, you know, they wouldn't see it fading away.
Right.
Well, you know, it's kind of symbolic with that glory. You know, we can be in the presence of the Lord, which we are to be in every day in his presence with his glory upon us. But yet when we come out and we go out into the world after we get out of our prayer closet and we go on the road, then things start to diminish somewhat, and then we start to make a decision. Even though we have the covering and the anointing over us that gives us strength to overcome the things of the day, still we're back down on planet Earth because we're in the heavenlies and we're in a prayer closet there, but we have to come down because we have a life to live, we have people to minister to, we have a mission to do. So therefore, we can't always be in the heavenlies, you know. And that's really what that kind of hit me when you said that about that. I didn't think of that until you and I got on the phone, but it just came to me just like with him, that was a good example. He was in the high place right there, and then he had to come back to himself there where he could lead the people and minister to the people. So
I think about that glory from the standpoint that at our daughter's celebration of life service, we had a guy whose daughter was best friends with our daughter, and he got up and he said to explain what Victoria was like. They said some people walk into a dark room and they would strike a match so that they could see. Said other people walk into the same dark room and they would reach over on the wall and they would flip a light switch on. And they said, but when Victoria walked into the room, the sun, the roof came off and the sun shined in. And I'm reminded of that because that was her personality.
Yes.
But I'm reminded that that's the way that we should be.
Yes.
When we walk into a room, and
that's
glory of His, it's the glory of the light of Jesus
that's
in our face.
Right.
In our words, in
world.
Our actions, in our speech,
but
it brings all that glory to Him, to where people they'll take notice. And
the apostles.
It's almost kind of like the old E.F. Hutton commercial. The guy walks in the room and he goes to say something.
Yeah, when he
and everybody hushes up.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was thinking, too? You know, remember when they were with Peter and the apostle there, they said, these are unlearned men. Sure, they've been with Jesus because they saw something in them that was far above them because they were very uneducated people. But they recognized the Jesus in them because people could deny what we think and say things about us and various things like that. But, you know, they can't deny the Jesus in us. When a person sees us, they can forget us as people. But the Jesus in us, they can't forget. When they have an experience with Jesus, when they meet with Him, you can't forget that. That's an indelible thing. That stays in your heart forever. You can never erase an experience with God. No matter how much you try to fight it or resist it, you fight it, but you cannot resist it, and it always stays with you. Even the hardest core people, the toughest, hardest core people have that experience. They can never erase that, and that brings them down, puts them into tears many times with how they recognize these things because with God, you have to bow. It's just like at the very end, you know, all the sinners and all the evil people that are going to be going to hell will have to bow before the King of Kings, even though as evil as they are, but just because of who He is, they cannot help themselves. They will bow before the Lord, even though it won't do them any good then, but they acknowledge that His presence. So we can never denounce that when His anointing and His presence is in our lives and through our lives.
Well, and for us, you know, one of the things that the Lord had placed in my heart years ago, you know, was the fact that he was going to use me to make an impact in people's lives. And the way that I read that back in the 80s was, well, he was going to use me in the insurance business. I was going to make an impact in people's financial lives, helping to plan for their safety of their family and for putting money away for the future. And that's how I was going to make an impact. And little did I realize that the impact that he would have would be from the fact that we as Christians, that we've gone through a great sacrifice, that out of our greatest tragedy or misery, God has birthed our greatest ministry. And from from that, we learn in James that, you know, count it pure joy when you go through those trials and temptations, that you're going to, it's going to be a testing of your faith. And then James later tells us it's that blessing. And it's that blessing you receive from going through that. And that's what makes the big impact and difference in other people's lives, because they go, oh my gosh.
Right. That's right. And, you know, some of the greatest tragedies have happened through life in the years past and years now. Some of the greatest hymns and greatest things for the gospel have been birthed out of the greatest thing where people have lost their whole families, husbands, wives, children, everything. I mean, the whole families were wiped out. And, you know, he tells us that, you know, the things that we suffer now are not to be compared with the glory that lies ahead. And to me, it's like a woman that's pregnant and getting ready to give birth. She suffers great pain sometimes. They go through some very tough ordeals, is what they tell me. I don't know from experience, thank God, but they go through some very difficult experience. And when that baby's born, they soon forget about it. In other words, they forget all about that. They just see the baby there, and that's really the future for us. You know, the hardest times that people that go through, the most difficult times in this world, whenever they enter into heaven, it's going to be nothing. Or wouldn't even be a thought about it, because it's going to be so wonderful. You don't even consider it. In fact, Christ considered what lied ahead. That's why the cross and nothing affected him, because he saw what lied ahead. He knew the souls. He knew what it was going to do. So therefore, Hebrews tells us that he considered not the contradictions and everything, but he saw the vision. That's why we have to have a vision, or we'll perish. We must have a vision that's far greater than the little ordeals that we experience, no matter how great they are. And that way we're not going to faint. We're going to go forward, and we're going to be able to do what we need to do in order to fulfill our mission on this earth.
Well, and that's why I always like to share with people is that when if you're not sure what you want to do, you need to ask, as Miles Monroe said, you've got to ask the Lord to find out what your purpose is. And he'll give you that purpose.
Absolutely.
And that purpose, a lot of times, that vision he gives you may be far greater than anything that you could have ever come up with. And it's going to take more than anything that you've got right now, but it's just a vision. You have to let God work through that vision, just like Joseph. I tell people sometimes, I said, had the Lord come to Joseph and said, hey, let me lay it out for you here, dude. I'm going to give you this coat of many colors, and then here's what's going to happen. You know, but see, he said, here's the end result. And if he said, well, let me lay it out for you, and said, well, you're going to get this coat of many colors, your brothers are going to hate you, they're going to despise you, they're going to throw you in a pit.
He would have quit. He wouldn't have done it.
They're going to lie to your father, tell you that you're dead, they're going to sell you into slavery.
That's
not the first time that you're going to be in prison, because then you're going to be, a woman's going to accuse you of something else, you're going to be in there. And as I like to tell people, I said, probably at about that point in time, Joseph would have said, keep the coat.
That's it. You know, that's where people, you know, it's just like comparing the secular to the spiritual, which you always can, from spiritual to physical pain. But we'll use an example, you know, just like people that want to have a great ministry and want to be used mighty to the Lord. When you ask that, it's almost like people that are looking at an ad in maybe a magazine, they'll see a man with nice cars, boats, and wealth and everything. They say, wow, that's what I want. I want that wealth, and that's all they see. But they don't consider what needs to be done to achieve that wealth. And that's the way with spiritually. You know, first of all, if we're called to a great ministry, the greater it is, the more have to go through to become stable, because we have to have a foundation built that we can withstand what comes against us for that ministry, because the greater the ministry, greater forces of the enemy that come against you. So you have to be strong and stabilized in your character and your being. And then there's many things for us to learn, and we have to grow. And that's why we have to remain teachable until the end, because, you know, he puts us in his oven. And if we keep jumping out of that oven right there, we're never going to get baked. We're never going to get started. But if we learn and we receive what he's trying to show each one of us and obey what he's trying to show us by God's word, the quicker we're going to get out of that oven and the quicker we're going to get out there doing the thing. But we have to be learning. You know, we have to make lemonade out of lemons. We have to see things in light of what God's word says and be what he wants us to be, because when we do that, we're teachable and we learn, and he can make us what he wants us to be. But if we aren't that way, then we're not going to learn anything, and we're just going to be going like the children of Israel around the circles for 40 years because we didn't learn anything. There's nothing being added to us. But it's a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required to begin with and to end with. But the thing is, I know many people went through a lot of things. I know ourselves, my wife and I, have seen very much over all these years and very great trials. But I'll tell you this, the stronger your trials, the more you experience, and as you walk those trials out, the greater the ministry. And that's what it is. Many times the people that come through the hardest times are the ones that have the strongest ministries, because they knew who their God is. They know who he is, what he will do, and they trust him. And they're not about to give in or compromise anything. They're going to go forward no matter what happens. And that's what he's trying to establish in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like I've shared with people before. I said, if you take a look at the Old Testament and see, as Moses called them, the stiff-necked Jews, and they were grumbling and griping and complaining. I said, if you're going to go through life and all you're going to do is grumble and gripe, then you better be prepared for Groundhog Day. You're going to keep waking up, and it's not going to seem like it's getting any better, and you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, which is
insanity.
That's right, but that's what people do, and so you've got to change that focus. So, well, we're going to be praying for you for years.
Yes, I left you guys go here. I don't want to take all this phone call up.
Jump on here, Montel. Good to talk to you.
God bless you. They're looking forward to your show. And we've got new listeners from West Africa and from Tanzania. So God just keeps taking us forth, and they're all going to start sharing our radio programs throughout Africa because they're seeing they can connect online or through the phone. So they're excited. So God is good.
Amen. And it's only going
to
get better.
I really think I need a secretary, y'all. That's a good thing, but I can't keep up tonight. My phone's dinging, and they're messaging me, but I won't complain. But we have another caller. It's one of my dear friends and sisters in Christ. Hold on.
Yes. Okay, well, listen, God bless you all, and I just wanted to tell you we love you.
Thank you, Pastor. Bless you,
see you tomorrow night.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Laura, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you. Yeah. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You have a prayer request tonight?
Yeah, I'm starting the process of going through a major weight loss surgery, and I can't take, like, the shakes and stuff. They're making me sick. So I just need some prayer through all that.
Okay. Well, let me pray for you. This is Leah. Heavenly Father, I just lift up this person. What was your name?
Laura,
I'm sorry. I lift up Laura to you, Lord, and I pray that you will settle her stomach and let her be able to take the things that she needs to lose the weight, Father. Lord, it's really, really important that we try to keep in good shape so that we can run the race. Lord, I just lift her up to you, and I pray for Laura to also do the same, to pray daily, even minutely if she has to get her stomach to and her body to accept this, because it will help. And I just praise you and thank you that you are with her every moment, even if she doesn't realize it. But if she just, all she has to do is open her spiritual eyes, and you're right there. So, Lord, I pray that you'll be with her during this time and make it easier for her to do what she is doing, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
You are
Amen.
Welcome.
Laura, when are you supposed to have that surgery?
I got to wait 6 months of doing the shakes and stuff like that and going back to the doctors, and then it'd be after that. I got to do
all right, well, make sure
you keep
me posted on that. I'd really appreciate that.
All right, I can do that.
Well, thanks for calling in with your prayer request. I love you, Lauren. I'll try to talk to you a little bit after the show tonight, too. And that I know that's a very risky surgery, so I know you went in prayer about it before you'd made that choice. So, but I'll be in prayer for you about that, too. And I love you, and have a blessed night, hon.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we have a few more minutes. What an amazing program. Everyone, I'm really excited about the listeners from Africa. Praise be to God. And I got another testimony. I am so excited, which you and Brian are aware of him. And I can't give his last name because it could actually jeopardize his life. But my spiritual son, Simon, who is actually from India, studying on a scholarship to be a doctor. He's in his second year of medical school. I met him on Facebook. God put him in my life. I led him to the Lord. And Simon, oh my goodness, I am so proud of him. He has been leading people in China to the Lord. Well, my spiritual son called me today. He is opening a church in China. God made a way. He's doing it in secret, but he's already got 18 members to his church, and I'm just so excited. And so we're going forth in China, too. He takes shows from here. I download them because they have trouble getting access to the internet, but I can download them and send them over. And they are listening to that and different teachings over there. So keep Simon in your prayers, because he was sharing with me today. We take our freedom in being able to serve God and our freedom in religion for granted here. If Simon would be to get caught over in China doing what he's doing, even teaching the Bible, he can get 10 years in prison or lose all of his scholarships or get kicked out of the country. So please keep Simon lifted up. But he is excited. He has no fear. There's a revival fire falling over. And just to be a part of that, I'm humbled before God. I'm just excited that God's taken this show and all the other shows to all over the world. You never know who is listening. And tonight, as I said, Tanzania, Africa, and people from West Africa, and some of them are getting a hold of me through Messenger, and they're like, send me the links, and just, it's amazing. God is so good, and I'm excited. This is a new season for Be Encouraged, for Brian and Leah Fouts, and Hazak, their ministry, Hazak Ministries, and Reaching Out Radio. I'm telling you, and Evangelist Edward Eberly, as you can see, that man's on fire for God. This girl's excited, and then I have a new host that's going to be with us, Prophet Bogani Franz, very prophetic, anointed ministry, amazing show, his last two shows. So we have an actual host from Africa now, and I'm just excited. And you guys, I love your shows. You cover a basis of so many things. It's fun. It's educational. Y'all got me saying that y'all, as you can hear, and there goes my phone to good. Praise be to God. But I'm excited, and
that's
I'm so blessed to be a part of this.
The thing we got
to
work on is make sure you got y'all, so when you come down here, you can say y'all just before you say your blessing to get your fried chicken. So.
Oh, y'all. I'm waiting for that, Brian. I've been hearing that Brian makes some pretty amazing fried chicken, and I would just love. And I've also seen the view from your porch. Oh my goodness, on the hill, that would be the perfect thing. Sit on the porch and pray and do Bible study with y'all,
right,
and then have Brian's fried chicken. Yep. Uh huh.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No. Yeah, that sounds great. And I'm going to just give one a little bit more, just a little bit more time if anyone, again, maybe you're listening. Because the other day we had a show on, and we were getting ready to close the show, and God put it on my heart to leave the lines open. And I was really glad that we did, because we had callers. You never know when people are going to call in. And I thank God we're getting new listeners. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
I've been praying for that, because I have to I got bragging rights here. I got to brag on my host. I got to brag on Brian and Lee have been with me pretty much since the beginning of Reaching Out Radio. And also they did a show when I worked for My Kings. Hold on just one moment. I do apologize. As I said, my phone is crazy busy, and I thank God for that. It's all ministry stuff. But Brian and Lee actually was one of my first hosts on My King's Fellowship, Network when I was hosting on there. But then they came over, God worked it out, and here we are. We've been going almost a year now. Hard to believe next month it's going to be almost a year soon. And you guys have been hosting with me and stuck in there with me. And now I'm excited. I love how evangelist Edward Everly and his wife is a prayer warrior. Leah, you guys will iron sharpens iron. You would love to pray with her. And he knows his word. He can sit and tell you where things are, the scriptures, the exact verses. I'm excited in what God's doing. And I also am hearing that my dear sister Pearl Corbin's going to be coming back from time to time from New York. So God just got people. Woo, I'm excited. And you have heard Sister Pearl before. She's an amazing woman of God.
Yes.
But I am blessed. God called me to Reaching Out Radio. But I got to share my heart. This platform belongs to God. I just
Amen.
Get the shows lined up and I do the writing and the details. And Brian and Leah and Evangelist Edward, they're great about sending me their paragraphs and what their shows are going to be about. So you all get gold stars in that. And Sister Linda's been getting on board with that. But I'm excited. What a blessing and honor. I don't get no glory in this. All I did was step out in faith, and God brought anointed men and women of God to bring forth the word. Here, as I said tonight, China people, we got listeners in China. We got listeners in West Africa, Tanzania. That's exciting to me. God is moving and doing something, and that's why these shows are so important, because many of them, even like with Simon, many of them don't have the ability. In China, YouTube is blocked. Many times they can't get on. They're even starting to block Facebook. So through email, I can send these shows over, and they can get blessed with these teachings and with this word. And here they are in secret. They've rented an apartment room to have church. Now, praise be to God. Now, that's faith. Do you really think, and I don't mean to offend nobody, but can you imagine going forth to do the work of God, knowing you could face 10 years in prison for sharing a message about God? Now, to me, Simon's raised up. He's a warrior, and I'm proud of him. When I first met him, he was hiding in a shell, but I'm excited. I'm really excited. I just love how you and Brian do things, and I appreciate Evangelist Edward Everly. I could stay on the phone and talk about the word with him. And I'm excited, and you can hear it. I've got a new refreshing, a new fire. And you two have been part of some turnaround in my life, and I thank you for your prayers. And I'm glorifying God tonight. You can hear that in my voice. I'm just thankful to God for what he's doing here on Reaching Out Radio. Praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. Goodness. Well, Lord, I just lift up those people that have to have church in secret, Lord. Hide them in plain sight. Hide them in plain sight from the enemy. And we just praise them for having the stamina and the desire so much stronger than the fear. And we praise them for that. Amen.
Amen. You bet. Father, we ask for protection of guardian angels.
Mm-hmm.
Father, as Leah said, to hide them in plain sight.
Amen.
And Father, we want it so much that even if the enemy should show up, that Father, as they come up, that they would be frightened away, because they'd say there was 100 men standing there that were 40 feet tall. And, Father, that would be powerful, Father, to hear that. So, Father, we pray that you would protect them, hide them in plain sight, and that, Father, that you would empower them, Father, and let them speak, Father, with your glory. Father, we just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
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 Yeah.
And right now I don't any more callers, but I'm just remember each week at the same time, Brian and Leah are my weekly hosts. They're not just, I know from time to time I have ministers that share from all over the world, but Brian and Leah are actually part of the Reaching Out Radio platform. They are regular weekly hosts. Praise be to God. Woo-hoo. I'm so excited about that. And Evangelist Edward Everly tomorrow night. Man, he's going to have a powerful teaching, and he was sharing about that earlier. We're going to be learning about all the times that Jesus shed his blood. That's powerful, and he's on every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., which actually used to be your old show time. You were on Tuesday mornings, wasn't it, during the morning time? Yeah, we had talked about Tuesday 6 p.m., but you was on Tuesday a.m. So just as you can see, God is doing amazing things. And I thank all of our listeners so much. I thank you for your prayers, for your support. Maybe you feel led, you know, and all these hosts on here, maybe you feel led to plant a seed into their ministries. I am open for that because I truly believe we should be a blessing unto others. And I know Brian and Lee are definitely seed givers into different ministries. They're cheerful givers. They got giving hearts. And the same with evangelist Edward Everly. If you feel led to bless any of these ministries, please feel free to do that. And Brian, Leah, would you give your contact information again if people maybe feel led to do that, or maybe they want to buy one of your books as well? Can you, before we go off the air tonight, can you let people know how they can do that, please?
Oh, sure. They can they can reach us on the website at www.hazakministries.com. That's Hazak ministries.com. There you can see pictures of us, what we look like. We've got a couple of things on there about our book. Our book's available online through there. And if you're in the United States, we ship it direct straight out from here. If you're like in Kenya or Tanzania, you can actually go on and pay for things through PayPal, and we can send them from here, because it's funny, we've actually been sending some books to Kenya here lately, and to Israel. And so, and then if you want to try to get it right away, you could probably get online and download an e-book that's available probably through Amazon.com, and you can actually get an audiobook as well. So the audiobook, Lee and I both read for the audiobook, so if you want to spend a few extra dollars, you can always get the audiobook and download it, and you would have it there as well. But primarily, you can reach us through www.hazakministries.com. You can send me an email, brian@hazakministries.com. We've also got a great little link on there for prayer. So if you've got prayer, a prayer request, you can always go right into there and send us an email, and it comes directly to Leah, who's our prayer intercessor. And she can get back and respond back to you with any of the prayer requests that come in. And I do a monthly blog once a month. It's called Be Encouraged, and that's usually on the website as well under the blogs. And so they give you a chance to get in there and just be blessed for the day. And pray for us. Our second book called Steps of Faith is up at the publishers, up at Tate Publishing. And we're hoping to have those books in hand hopefully by October. And pray for my wife Leah. She's actually writing a children's book called Indian Summer. It's a great little short little story book. And then we've had a number of people have been asking us for a resource book on grief, on how to walk through grief and handle grief. And so the Lord has opened up the doors there. And so we have another book called Walking Through Grief, A Journey of Peace, and we're right in the last two chapters of that now. And so hopefully here in the next couple of months we'll be through editing that, and that too will then take off and go to the publishers. So it's been a great year for writing books for us this past year. But we would love to hear from you. We'd love to have any comments that you've got about the radio show, how we can pray for you. And let us know how we can be praying for you as well.
Amen. And you two are definitely prayer warriors. And many of you too earlier heard me share at the beginning of the show. We had some music, and our talented dear brother here is a great instrumentalist. And I can't talk; I'm tongue tied. I'm so excited tonight. But if you too, Brian has CDs, beautiful anointed worship music. I absolutely love it. I love to put it in the car when I'm traveling and just sit back and just bask in the. There is such a difference when someone has that anointing, when you know they're chosen for that specific thing in their life. That anointing is on the music that Brian plays. And I'm not just saying that because he's a host on here. I love Brian and Leah, but it is the truth. There's many times when I travel or I'm going through something, when my mom and I have been back and forth to doctor's appointments, we put in one of Brian's CDs because the music is serene. You feel like you're sitting right at the feet of the Lord just in worship. It's beautiful. So I encourage you, too, if you're looking for some good worship CDs, I encourage you, on those sites, you can get connected with Brian and Leah. They truly would be a blessing. They're just beautiful, beautiful music. Just, wow, what a beautiful, beautiful Hazak fits, because what a powerful and strong ministry God has lifted up through everything that you went through. And from misery to ministry sure does fit, because I know some of you know Brian and Leah's story, and you might have heard earlier, but Brian and Leah lost their only daughter, and she was only 18 years old at the hands of violence. And within 2 days, man, their testimony blesses me. Within 2 days, God brought them healing. They sought God in this. And, wow, I didn't want to tell you the story because the book is so amazing, and it takes you on their journey. It has you laugh. It has you cry. And it's anointed. It's written by the very hand of God. So I encourage you, get their book and listen to Brian and Leah's story in the loss of their daughter and what God has done in their ministry. Powerful, powerful ministry. I am so humbled and honored to be able to have you as my family in Christ and have you as host here on Reaching Out Radio. I love you guys very much.
Well, we love
you
too.
Cry.
Yeah, you're over here making her cry.
Awesome. Well, you guys mean so much to me, and God knows the depth. She was there to pray for my mom. And,
yep.
You know, one of the things that really sticks out to me, and I've even told people about your story, it just was so beautiful to me that you turned your daughter's service, her celebration in life. That's what you made it about. You didn't let the enemy get no glory in what had happened. You made it a God thing.
Yeah.
And there were people saved at your daughter's service. And then the very next year, one of those young men lost his life. You know, that's really something deep to think about. And I can't even begin to imagine being a mother to lose one of my children. That they would have to be the power of God to carry you through that. And you two have
absolutely.
Such strength. You do. You have such strength, and you don't dwell. God healed you and delivered you. You can really see that in your life, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's a powerful God that we serve. It isn't God that does those things in life. God gives men free will. And so many times, like, well, why does God let this happen? No, God says that thou shalt not kill. It's the things that men take upon themselves. But he did say that he would never leave us or forsake us, and he's there in those moments. And your ministry is just so beautiful, Brian and Leah. And wow, how God's grown. I'm looking forward, because when you get those children's books, I have nieces that would love those. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to your new books.
Yeah, Fouts, so that means,
yes.
Jump up in that saddle and ride off in the sunset. Get them things written.
Yeah.
Well,
get her done,
I'm encouraging you both that you guys are very gifted authors as well. God's just really moving in your life, and I love y'all. And I know you guys have been on quite a while tonight, God, but it don't seem like you have been. But thank you, God, again for new listeners tonight, Father. And Father God, Brian and Leah is always praying over me in life. Father God, I'm just praying tonight that you bless my brother and sister for their faithfulness, for their obedience, dear God. Father God, they're a blessing to me in so many ways. Father God, you know all about it, dear God. I can pick up a phone, I don't care what time of day is, and know that they'll be there to pray for me, dear God, that they'll be there to listen, dear God. And many times that's just what I need, someone to listen. Father God, I just pray you open the floodgates of heaven tonight. And you pour out your blessing upon my brother and sister over in Texas, dear God. Father God, continue to bring new anointing. Take them to new levels. Anything that the devil means for evil, dear God, we're standing against that, for you give us all power and authority to come against him, dear God. Father God, I'm praying that these books will come forth in a timely manner. And Father God, that you will just those books go forward in a great and mighty way. Bless my brother and sister. Let people look upon their life and call them blessed. Let them know how much they mean to me. We glorify you in this show and in all you're doing in their ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I love
Amen.
You guys. And remember, tune in, everybody, tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time for Evangelist Edward Eberle. And again, next week for part 3 of Brian and Leah's 4-part series. I love you guys. You're doing an amazing job tonight.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Love you.
We love you.
Love you. God bless.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.